Welcome to the Thinklings Podcast, a conversation where good thoughts help renew the mind with the Word of God. You're here with Tim, Charlie, Andy, and Josh. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to the Thinklings Podcast.
Shalom. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Rosh Hashanah.
Hey, what's up? That's all I got.
Is that going to be your new thing?
Could be. I can make it. We could do that.
Hello.
Look at me, Josh.
We haven't just been sitting around for an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes, talking about nonsense. So you don't have to worry about that, listener. All right, here's what we're going to do in this episode. We're recording this. It is still Christmas. Because Christmas is 12 days. I don't know if you knew that, Tim.
But the 12th day was yesterday.
I don't think so. Like,
the first day of Christmas is the 25th.
All I know is that if I Google what day is Epiphany, it says January 6th.
All right, well, this is why I got messed up. Because somebody bought me this stinking book called 12 Tide, 12 Days of Christmas.
Well, Google's probably wrong.
No, they're right. And Christmas is the first day of Christmas. And then you have the second day. Yeah, the second day is the 26th. And it has the date on it every single time. So the 12th day was yesterday.
But if you start on the 25th and you count days, 12 days later is January 6th. Or am I just crazy?
You're crazy. Or this guy's wrong.
Well, listeners, you can, using all of your fingers and toes that God gave you, you can count and decide. But anyway, we're gonna talk about Epiphany, the 12th day. Or maybe Christmas is over on Epiphany, and it's like the day after the 12 days.
No,
maybe
that's 12th, correct. There's the 12 days of Christmas, and then Epiphany's its own day.
Is Epiphany...
Okay, Epiphany's its own day.
Maybe that's where I am making the error. I thought
we
that was the 12th
learned
day.
Learned through this. And the 12th day is a raucous day. It actually reminded me of Saturnalia.
Wowzers.
Yeah, like where certain roles are flipped, where the landlord becomes like the serving guy, and yeah. I mean, the picture that he's got muted on the thing is even wow. Like, yeah, so.
That's a bit, hey, not everyone, people have opinions.
Hmm?
When it comes to Christmas, people have opinions.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I did not know this, and then I found out. Some people don't do Christmas trees. Like,
didn't
that's
we
a big
give
deal.
Out a prize to someone whose Apple account was Saturnalia something?
Yeah, but they were totally, like, messing with us.
I know, but.
That's
but,
true.
But were they?
But it was Saturnalia King James 1611. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that. All right. So that's my mistake, Tim. So the 12 days, they're done.
They're done.
Christmas is over. It's old news. But Epiphany is today. And we're going to talk about Epiphany.
Happy Epiphany.
Happy Epiphany. But you did text us yesterday and say Happy Epiphany.
I did because it was the 12th day.
Well, I thought it was the 12th day too. But I knew for sure Epiphany was today. So anyway, the fun things. So what are you guys doing for Epiphany? Hmm? Any raucous celebrations?
Well, I could tell you about my mug.
Please do.
So I got a mug from my wife's family. And it says the key elements of a dad joke, and then it shows a pie chart. Can you see this? Now, I'm going to need your help, Charlie, in just a minute. And the biggest slice of the pie says size of disappointment. The next biggest slice of the pie says corny pun. The next biggest says dad laughing the loudest. The next smallest says pause for effect after a setup that took way too long. And then I'm going to skip one. The tiniest
one. Do you need to pause right now?
No. Tiniest one says genuine laughter, which I am offended at. But the tiniest slice doesn't have a label, just has a line. Get your phone. It goes all the way to the backside to a QR code. Charlie, I need you to scan the QR code. Now, this has been endlessly entertaining for my family, my kids every day.
Is it going to make noise?
Nope, it's not a Rickroll. But you just tell me what pulls up and read it to the listener.
It's a daily dad joke.
It's so great. So read it.
Do I have to pause for the punchline before
it's, you can do whatever you want. It's a winter episode.
Okay, Tim.
Oh, boy.
How did the penguin... That's an Arctic bird. How did the penguin build the birdhouse?
I don't know, Charlie.
It glued it. together.
Ooh, very nice.
Because an igloo,
I got it,
is something you find where penguins are.
No kidding.
It's thematic.
So it's been pretty fun. Every day there's a dad joke.
It fit the corny pun joke section.
That is nice. I do like that. I think I saw you post about that on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I kind of knew that was coming.
But I thought it would be a good podcast. I have another mug to bring another time that I got for Christmas too. So,
all right. Are we ready to do the thing?
Books and business.
Let's talk about some books. And I'll go first since I'm going to lead our definitely not 12 Day of Christmas, but Epiphany discussion later. The books that were given for Booksing Day, I have started reading all of them. So thank you, gentlemen. There's only one of them that I finished.
Ooh.
Well done.
And it was Josh's. Josh wins the competition.
Oh, there was a competition?
Was it Raft of Stars or... I can't remember the name of it. I don't have it with me.
You only read it.
But
I've done that. I can't say anything. I've read a book and then forgot what the title was.
It is a book that follows children. I wouldn't say it's a children's book. And I'll just say, I think one of the prominent themes, other than the Midwest, outdoorsy style of it, there's a theme of fatherhood. And what happens when there aren't fathers, which I don't know. I could be reading that into, I don't know if that's intended, but it really feels like that is a part of it. And just, can someone who got a bad start be redeemed? You know, can they overcome that? And it was very interesting. The way it's written is it kind of splits between multiple scenes that are all happening at the same time. And then they're all going at the same goal. And then they meet up in the end. You have a resolution. It's compelling. It's interesting. Josh, per your agreement, I'm ready to get coffee and discuss at any point. But I thought it was pretty good. So I don't know if I would rank it. It's probably a 5 or 6-ish. Probably have to read it again to, I wasn't thinking about ranking as I read. I was just really interested in reading. So, yeah. I think it's Raft of Stars is the name of it. But
very good. I read a fiction book as well. I read Lumen.
And you did, and you didn't burn to the ground?
I'm so excited to hear this. What did you think?
It was interesting. It was much more rom-com.
Okay, so the romance was higher in that one.
I thought so.
Okay.
And so I was getting a little bit annoyed by it.
Okay.
So
that'll come up with my book. It's not that, but there's a connection there. So, okay, bummer. I was thinking maybe it was just the reader.
So it was still kind of a fun plot line and kind of kept you guessing. And so I enjoyed the read. It's just a read. Mm-hmm. I wanted to highlight that, but it's not really the books and business.
Are you going to read the third one?
Probably.
Because that's the one where it gets, well, I would
just. You said that was the really good one, that's why.
I couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
I mean, so I literally said it was an 8-8 before I redacted it. Redacted. Is that how that works, Charlie? You just say redacted right after it. Okay.
So the other book that I read was also a Booksing Day gift, The 12 Tide, The 12 Days of Christmas, Recovering a Season of Giving, Feasting, and Reflection by Chris and Glencora Pipkin from my good friend Charlie Carter. And we did this starting Christmas Day. I read it. I read the reflection. I didn't realize it actually that he had one for Christmas Eve. I missed that one. But we read through his reflections day after day after day. This is a high church idea. And he has a quote from the Book of Common Prayer at the beginning of every reflection. And then he has like a literature review where he is just giving you a snippet of some kind of piece of literature. And then he has activities. And I thought some of the activities were really funny. Some of them were really good, but we didn't do like any of them. However, I think we're going to do some of them next year. My kids started to get into the spirit of Christmas. And so I think we're going to try to actually do the 12 days next year.
You mean the Marleys?
Yeah, something like that. So Anyway, I really like the Reflections, even though this was like a high church, and I don't know anything about these people, but they, I don't know if they're Anglican or Catholic. At one point they said, donate to a Christian charity / Catholic. So I'm wondering if they're Catholic, but it felt weird they were quoting the Book of Common Prayer the whole way through.
Yeah, so I'm not 100% sure. He does the Inklings Variety Hour podcast.
Oh, okay.
And so our strongest bond of fellowship has just been talking about the Lewis Barfield books.
Yeah.
But I'm planning, I think, tentatively to be where he's from this summer.
Yeah.
And he teaches at a college.
Yeah.
Teaches literature, I think. Mm-hmm. And so we have loose plans to get together. And so hopefully I'll learn more about the Pipkins at some point.
So the 12 days of Christmas, you're celebrating Christmas, not just for one day, but for 12. You don't open your gifts all on one day. You're opening them like a gift a day or every other day or something along those lines. It spreads the celebration out and the reflection out. And it has this idea of just, but it is very high church in that it's connected to saints, martyrs, and you're supposed to feast. I think I liked pretty much all of his reflections except the last one, the 12th night, which sounds like it's a big shindig party and he was trying to make it sound better, which kudos for trying, but just wasn't there. So anyway, that's my books and business, 12 Tide. Thank you.
I would say probably 5 or 6 months ago, I put on hold at our local library The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt as an audiobook, and I totally forgot that I had done that, but my phone alerted me that it was ready, and so I started listening to that last week, and I'm about 3/4 of the way through, and it's a very interesting book, and I do encourage Christians, particularly with kids that are 10, 11, 12, and are wanting to have a phone and wanting to have a social media presence to read this book. It will challenge your thinking in that regard. And I think just to spoil it a little bit, don't do it is what Jonathan Haidt would say. Do not let your children have social media accounts when they are that age. Wait until at least 16. He would actually say maybe even 18. He's advocating for there to be a legal limit, which says kids cannot have social media accounts until they're 16. So anyway, it's just been a very interesting read, and it's worth considering. I'm enjoying listening to it.
What's the title again?
The Anxious Generation.
Mm-hmm. There are, and I on other podcasts that talk about similar things, It's a fitness podcast, but they were actually talking about Lewis and Tolkien the other day, and like the first time they went and saw like the first Disney movie and how it like ruined narrative and literature, which you're not expecting that when you're listening to a fitness podcast, which is interesting. Side note, like the guy on that, one of the guys on that podcast has gone through like a conversion story, like in the last like 10 years of like listening. So like, just to hear the evolution of like what he talks about is so fascinating. To go from like very strict Darwin evolutionist to, you know, I think Lewis and Tolkien were right when they, you know, watched the Snow White movie. But they talk about a lot of things that are happening. And one of the things they mentioned a couple weeks ago, there are countries that are literally banning social media, like for kids. You cannot sign up until you're 16 legally. There are countries that are doing that.
They just lie about their age.
They do.
Yeah. And he points that out as well, that there's sometimes age limits on social media, but that you can just make fake accounts and things like that.
It's very common. Yeah.
I think our readers would understand this, but he's not a Christian. He does come from it. Come to these conclusions from an evolutionary perspective. I think he comes to the right conclusions often. He's just starting from the wrong place in certain areas, of course. But
it's fascinating too that people without the Spirit of God, so like other pagan governments, are observing what's happening and they're putting legal restrictions upon it. Like, this is really bad for our children. And if someone who is not Christian, not filled with the Spirit is coming to that decision, how should Christians respond to such things? So it's just interesting corollary there.
Yeah, he also at times points out that these companies that are producing these products, they're not neutral. They're coming for your kids on purpose. They're trying to entrap them in endless scrolling and, you know, bottomless social media profiles, and it's sinister.
Can you say what the podcast was, Charlie?
Mind Pump.
Yeah, I think you recommended that one other time, and I maybe didn't get to it.
If you go to like fitness in Apple Podcast, it's the number one podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting, Josh.
I think.
Okay. Well, it could be up there. We'll just say it's up there.
I'll verify.
So, Josh, over break, this is just a little in what they call in the business foreshadowing. I ordered 3 or 4 books on this topic. I am not wearing my Apple Watch, and I haven't had my social media installed for 2.5 weeks, and I feel like I can remember things better. So I'm trying to read on this semester, and then maybe do like a content. We'll see if it happens. But it's weird. Because we're in a generation where we didn't have that, and then we did. And so, okay, but that's not the book I'm talking about. I am going to talk about one of my books I got. Not for Booksing Day, but I talked about it on Booksing Day. It's one of my Christmas reads, The Language of the Rivers and the Stars by Seth Lewis. He's a blogger who Charlie's his head on his a la carte from time to time. He was from Alabama, but he lives in the UK. And so it's been a really intriguing read. I am 2/3 of the way through it. And shout out to Laura Sturgis from our church, who is listening to it right now and enjoying it. But this is what she said, and this is what dovetails into yours, Tim. She said, there are people who are authors that read their own books. And she said some of them are really good, like Rosaria Butterfield. She's an English professor, and she has really good diction and knows how to read it well. So that'd probably be like Josh reading a book if he wrote it. But she said, then there are other people who, bless their heart, and she pulled the bless your heart. They just, you know, and so she said, this guy is not a great reader. So if you listen to the book, it's probably going to be not as pleasant, which I would say that's partially to blame over there.
I almost didn't finish Wing Feather because I thought the narrator was really bad, and come to find out, it was Andrew Peterson.
He was a friend of the podcast.
You had to speed that one up.
See, my first two Wing Feather books, I had a different edition with a different reader, and then my second two, I had Peterson, so...
I've struggled with Andy Serkis's reading of Fellowship and Two Towers because...
We abandoned it.
Did you?
Yeah, we couldn't hear it.
You couldn't hear him because he gets too quiet.
Road, yes, on the road, he's so low that any road noise...
You can't hear him.
Yeah, I had to go back to the... whatever that guy
the
is.
The classic, baby.
Yeah, what's his name? I can't think of it right
now. Anyway.
Tom Bombadil.
Well, no, though. Okay. All right. So anyways, back to Seth Lewis's book. he... talks about how he goes out to this little pond at midnight, and he canoes out to the middle of it. And the whole reason to do this is because the pond has bioluminescent bugs in it or something like that. And when you put your oar in the water, it glows blue. So if you guys haven't looked this up online, you should do this. It's really amazing. And so he tells the story of like him and his wife going out, and is it going to be worth it? And it's so beautiful. And they're looking at the water. And then he happens to look up and he sees the stars, and it's way outside the city, so there's not light pollution. And so he's just talking about how it's magical and it's made by God. And then he says this, he says, how does the world do this to us? How does it make our hearts beat faster and our eyes go wide and our minds freeze, transfixed with beauty? How do the pinpricks of burning gas and glowing biology and so many other natural realities have such a strange power over us? Is this really logical? And he talks about how if you try to add it up logically, it doesn't make sense. He says, there is no survival value in gaping at the midnight sky. My wife and I lost half a night's sleep and almost hit a boulder in the lake, but we were gaping anyway and still loving it, just as every other human who ever lived on this planet has also gaped at the world and loved its beauty. And so he really is pondering general revelation, and I love it. It's been a really good book. He his main element of the book is he gives you a grid. So in the first four chapters, he basically says general revelation is meant to be understood, and it tells the glory of God. In the second chapter, he says, but there's hurricanes and poison and cancer. And he's like, what is that? And so he addresses the point of it being affected by sin. But then in the third chapter, he says, it's actually meant to be interpreted, which I had never thought about general revelation being meant to be interpreted. And I was a little bit skeptical. And as he walked through his passages, I was persuaded, like, we're supposed to be looking out and seeing things. And then he gives lots of examples of the way things work out in nature and how you learn, like, lessons from that. It was a very fascinating thought. And then he talks about how you do interpreting. Then the rest of the book, he just goes through the days of Genesis. So, like, day one, God makes light. He talks all about light. Why is God called light in the Bible? What does that mean? What would it have meant to the audience? And he gives you this three-step grid or schematic when you encounter general revelation. First, you discover it, so you should just make observations. And he says, basically, look around, like put your phone down and look around. Number two, you should interpret it. And he says, you have to interpret it in light of God's word or you'll come to the wrong conclusion. But he says, ultimately, you should be responding. And he talks about, like, obeying God, fear the Lord, praising him. And it's been a really good book. I got to where the creation days were kind of getting repetitive. It's like, okay, he's going to do this. And so I'm going to skip ahead. I'm going to read the last three chapters, the sixth day, this other one. And then he's going to talk about rest in the last chapter. So anyways, I'm not done with it yet, but I'm going to rank it pretty high. I liked it. It's a good book on general revelation.
That sounds really cool. Especially for, like, an apologetics guy, just kind of refocusing on what is the purpose of general revelation in a not academic sense, but just effective sense.
Yes. This is going to sound super arrogant. I don't mean this, but I kept telling Melissa, I've said this. And it's because we're both reading the Bible and both thinking about the same thing. And it's been really encouraging. And I've often said, I think the fact, like, right now we're in a room that we built, well, we didn't, but humans built it. It's human stuff. It's made with God's material, but there is value in getting outside and looking at a tree for an hour, you know, like that's good. And he sort of ponders that and meditates on it. It's been very helpful. So I like the book very much.
All right, let's discuss Epiphany, which is not the 12th day. But the day after.
Hey, we both learned something.
Yes. So I'm going to read from, this is just an article on history.com. What is the Christian holiday of Epiphany? The Epiphany, also known as Three Kings Day or Theophany, is an ancient Christian holiday that predates the celebration of Christmas. People around the world still observe it today, typically on January 6th. Which is today as of recording and posting. However, some observers including Catholics in America, honor different dates. So one of us must be Catholic. That's the only proper deduction. Traditions vary by region. And I was looking at Tim when I said
we're not Catholic.
That's true.
We're little C Catholic. You know, we're in the universal church. But
there we go.
Not the Roman
church
Catholic.
History is being taught right next door.
In many Spanish-speaking countries, children receive presents on Dia de los Reyes, Three Kings Day, instead of or in addition to Christmas. The Irish consider it bad luck to take down their Christmas trees until Epiphany. And in Russia, some brave believers, and I'm going to do the air quotes how they do it, some brave believers observe Epiphany by baptizing themselves in frigid lakes. They air quote, or they quoted baptizing, which I don't think they meant to put quotes on baptizing, like they're actually dunking themselves in lakes, so they're baptizing, an Eastern Orthodox tradition.
Well, I'm guessing it's not actually an official baptism. It's like recollection or something.
That's kind of the joke.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
Sorry, I don't get jokes a lot of times.
Let's talk about Epiphany. So Epiphany is derived, and this is from the article, surprisingly enough, is derived from the Greek word, Andy, what is the Greek word?
Epiphaneia.
Yes. Meaning,
appearing or appearance or basically to appear.
Yeah. And what they're celebrating, it's slightly different, but adjacent to Christmas. So it's not just the incarnation that the Messiah has come and been born, but this is the revealing, the manifestation of the Messiah. And it's most commonly connected with the gifts of the Magi, where they come and they present the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which are sort of, you can debate what word you'd use, but symbolic of who Christ is, that he's the king that's going to die for us. And so as we talk about Epiphany, we're going to look at Matthew 2 in a little bit, but the Epiphany in like common English parlance is like, I had an epiphany, like something was revealed to me. Like, so, we're going to kind of riff on that theme. This is like the first episode of our new year. And so we commonly talk about things we're planning for the new year. So we're going to Epiphany reveal our new year's plans to you. And then at the end, we're going to go to the Epiphany passage and talk about the three gifts.
This sounds great.
Sound good to you guys?
Sure.
All right. So let's talk about 2026. What reading, writing, or et cetera goals do you guys have in 2026?
Reading, writing, or et cetera goals.
I think, anyway, yeah. I thought I texted you guys about this, but maybe not.
I don't remember a text, but I can riff. So last year, what was...
In the spirit of Epiphany.
Yes.
Yes,
we will Epiphany.
We're praying yes, for one right now.
Right now.
We're
this is so good.
Well, I did see the email. So do you guys want me? Or the text. Sorry, the text.
I did send it. Yeah. I'm not crazy. I am crazy.
Well,
but not.
Well, no, that if you're ready, I mean, I was just going to say last year, I remember my reading goal. It was going to be the year of rereading.
Mm.
Now I have my handy dandy reading tracker. So I over a year have logged my reading in this book and it has been fantastic. But as I look at the books I finished this year, I was pleasantly surprised, although it's pretty low for comparison to other people. I finished 23 books this year. I was so close to finishing 24. That'd be two books a month. I will take that as a win for me. But when I look back at what I reread, I'm counting. I have on the first page one book I reread. And on the second page, none. So my year of rereading was a fail. However... It was. Here's what I did. I remember last year. Go ahead.
Epiphany.
So
sprinkle that in every day. That's good.
I went back to my office after we did that and I grabbed books I wanted to reread, Habits of the Mind by Sire and Teaching Changed Lives, like all kinds of stuff that I just read. And I put it all on this bookshelf and it was like I was going to keep picking those up and rereading them. And then what happened is I read some ebooks, I read some books I wanted to read. And I listened to a number of audiobooks and I just totally forgot about rereading. So, question, am I going to do a year of rereading this year? Answer, no.
No.
No, nope, I don't think I will. It was really good to read Adorning the Dark again, though. I really enjoyed it. So I think I should reread more.
I understand kind of how that happens where you maybe have a plan and then it goes awry because part of our lives as professors is there's a level of what, you know, for lack of a better expression, might be serendipitous. Mm-hmm. And people recommend things and you think, oh yeah, that sounds really good. Or I need to read this to prepare for class. And so over the years, I generally do not have a very kind of strict list that I'm hope of books I'm hoping to read, but Epiphany, this
Epiphany.
This year, I do have a list, and I am going to try to read books from this list. I'm not saying that this list is going to, like, I'm not expecting to read all of these books. Just so you know, I think there are 12 on here. I'm not saying that's all that I read in a year. We all read tons of books for class and for research and things like that. But these are books that I'm intentionally reading. And what I did, Andy, these are not books that I looked around my office and thought, I need to reread that. These are books that I looked around my office and I thought, that's on my shelf and I've never read it.
Oh, don't say that out loud. Ooh. I'll get in trouble.
Well, it just, again, as professors, you hear about books and you think, I need to have that book on my shelf, and you buy it, and it's there for either research, and you may not read the whole thing because you're just using it as a reference and you know that you need to have it, or you just get sidetracked and, you know, anyway. So I've broken them down into categories: history, the fine arts, biography, inklings adjacent, theology, literature, and philosophy. There are, of course, some gaps. I don't have anything there about science or math. And there's other gaps as well. But pick a category, Charlie, and I'll give you a book from that category. So history, the fine arts, biography, inklings adjacent, theology, literature, philosophy.
Well, of course, inklings adjacent.
All right. Inklings adjacent. This is actually, you might quibble with me about this, but Saving the Appearances, a Study in Idolatry. It's not necessarily inklings adjacent.
That's straight
because
inklings.
Barfield is...
Yeah. He's the first and last inkling.
Right. So he actually is part of the group, but...
Well, it is contended.
Yeah.
I refer to that book all the time.
All right, Andy.
Let's go history.
History?
For 500.
All right. The Gulag Archipelago, and it's an abridged version put out by Harper, by Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Very nice. Very nice. I've not read that. That's been on my list, too.
I also have The Rise and Fall of Dispensationalism. Have you guys read that?
I own it, and I read a little bit of it. I would like to read that one, too, but other things have taken precedence.
Yeah.
We need to do a dispensationalism episode again.
Tim, you want to pick a category?
What were the categories again?
History, the fine arts, biography, inklings adjacent, theology, literature, philosophy.
Let's go with biography, something a little lighter and fun.
Yeah, so Bach, Music in the Castle of Heaven by John Elliott Gardner. I got this from my in-laws several years ago and haven't read it yet. But
that sounds fascinating.
Yeah. I think it's going to be beyond me. I think it's going to be above me, but yeah.
Well, biographies are just always fun because you learn things about people of old that have all just kind of passed and disappeared from history. So I enjoy reading biographies for fun reading, almost more than fiction. It's more profitable too.
I gladly welcome more Barfield at the table. It's like, what, you know what this podcast needs is more Barfield.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always tell my history students that reading biographies is one of the best ways to learn history, because as you learn about a person, you pick up on the dates and events. If you just try to memorize all the dates and events, for some people that's really frustrating, but everyone's interested in people. So,
yeah, and history really does need to be taught and learned as a story, and lives help you do that.
Napoleon. So for me, I don't really have a list, and I kind of just read all over the place all year long. So books that I know that I will be reading would be Complementarity by Greg Allison. I'm part of a book reading group, and I have to get that one read. I'm going to be reading Weight of Glory.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should were say something that. About that.
I was waiting to mention that.
Maybe
Mr. Dad joke over there.
We should have probably said something right at the beginning. We don't, all of you are held accountable. Don't let us forget to mention that in the next four episodes.
This will be a nice little epiphany in the middle of the episode.
Oh, look at him epiphany. Helping you out.
This, we're celebrating the feast right now. This is a feast of epiphany.
So the Thinklings are reading Weight of Glory. Buy one of the Inklings. And so you can get a copy and read along with us. Reading every episode or every essay.
Yeah, I will in this episode and then through the month of January, we will review these dates so you can get a copy and read along with us. It is a compilation of essays by Lewis. Obviously the for which it's named, Weight of Glory. That will be our last one that we read, but I'm going to give them to you in chronological order. And so on February 10th, it is our plan to post an episode on the essay, The Inner Ring, that Andy's going to lead us into. On February the 24th, we will do the second essay. Our second essay is Theology Poetry, and I'm going to lead us into that one. On March 10th, Transposition, and Tim is going to lead into that one. on the 24th of March, Why I Am Not a Pacifist, Josh, and that's the name of the essay. That's not Josh stating his personal beliefs. And then the last one, we will all discuss, we're all going to discuss through all the other ones, but we will finally arrive and do The Weight of Glory on April 7th. And so 5 essays, if you want to get a copy, read those along with us. And then those episodes, we'll discuss those. But
I'm also part of a reading group at church called The Path. And so I'm reading Christian Theology by Millard Erickson and Clay Pot Conspiracy by Dave Harvey. This is a brand new book, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be recommending it, and I'll talk about it on a future episode. So those are a few of the books that I know I will be reading. Oh, and None Greater by Matthew Barrett, because it's part of our church's small group. Did you have something? So I'm basically just narrating books that I have to read because I'm connected to various groups. But I'll be reading a whole pile of other stuff for research and whatever else.
Just to segue in there, I didn't say what I'm going to read. I can do that after Charlie. But that's part of why I think I didn't get the rereading done, is I was part of the deacon training group. I'm part of the path group, and I'm doing small group. That is like 9 books. And so a lot of the book list is that, plus the audiobooks. So like what you said, Josh, is through the serendipity, like you're kind of just going with whatever you have to. So.
All right. So I have just a lot of books about discipleship that I'll be reading this year. It is interesting to go back. Do you still use Bookly?
No, I tried so hard. That's what this is now. This is, yeah, this little notebook is my Bookly.
I think it's more fun to write things down.
Yeah.
But according to my app, I finished 33 books this year.
Ooh.
Looking well down done. Through the titles, the highlights, Frankenstein is in here. Wuthering Heights, that was a good read. I mean, I don't know if it's a good read. It was fun. The Great Gatsby was in here. Let's see here. Tale of Two Cities. The Brothers K. So a lot of good stuff in there. And then, you know, a bunch of, you know, nonsense with audiobooks. You know, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, C.S. Lewis, all that good stuff. But I'd say probably my favorite read of the year. Mm. It's the only book that when I got done with it, I sat and thought about it for about 10 minutes. And I said, I need to read this again. And that was The Bridge of San Luis Rey. And it's like barely over 100 pages. It's just such a fascinating way to think about death and the meaning of life. And so I would really recommend that to you. Close Reads read it and talked about it. So you can get, I talked about it on this episode or on this podcast. I think it's a short read that kind of gets you into some bigger conversation, but it is all about death. So, you know, depending on the time of year you're in, maybe it's not the right time, but I think that's probably my favorite book in here. And I just noticed it because it's the only one that is down twice, because I read it twice. But yeah. And then let's also, I don't know if you guys have anything to say here, but are there any things you want to write this year?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on. care to elaborate?
So I want to try to get some of the projects that I've written published. As far as new projects, the regional ETS meeting is in March, the 20th and 21st, I think. And I think Dr. Doug and Dr. Paul and I are going to go. We'll see if that happens. It's in Grand Rapids. So I'm considering writing one new article.
GR, baby. There's a really good coffee shop there, I can tell you
about. No kidding. And there's also a friend I have there, Jonathan Fuller. I'll have to dial him up and figure something out.
You mean the Baptist on Instagram? You're not on Instagram, so you don't see this.
Charlie was number 2 book of the year, or number 1 book of the year of his list. I can't remember. Something he put like up that. His reading list. You were up there really high.
So I've had a conversation with a few people also about another writing project, kind of a devotional. We have a lot of devotional content that the Thinklings have produced, and I think it might be nice to have a Thinklings devotional. So that might be something for us to actually get done this summer. So that's a couple of my writing projects. The one paper that I'm considering writing, I had a few conversations at ETS about it, and it was
the characters in the Song of Songs. So basically how to interpret the characters in the Song of Songs. So I might do a regional ETS or Bible faculty or ETS, I don't know, SBL presentation. That's my paper project for the year.
I have a couple of goals, I suppose. Just getting back into writing regularly is something that I need to do. It's just my teaching load of late has been pretty heavy, so it's been hard to find some time to write, but I need to just set reasonable goals and work on writing. But one thing that I've been thinking a little bit about, so within literature, maybe this is true of other disciplines as well, but there are a few kind of peer-reviewed academic journals that focus on short, what they call notes, short articles of 5 pages or so, just on something in very particular about a novel that helps kind of explain something. So I've been thinking a little bit about that in relationship to actually something you said, Charlie, when we were talking about Willa Cather and the reference at the end to her and her children coming out of the cave. I've been thinking a little bit more about that, and maybe that seems like a suitable kind of essay, a 4 to 5 page kind of treatment of that in the cave. In terms of longer projects, I have a couple of ideas. One that I've started, but is looking at the vice acedia within some 20th century American literature, just kind of the working title is American Acedia. And so maybe making some more headway on that. And then I also, I don't know if I'll get to this one, but I've thought a little bit about it of late, a theology of mockery. So looking at the way satire is used or mockery in the scripture, but then in the early church fathers and then in literature as well.
That'd be a great content for our podcast too. You should go. I like that one. That's one I've thought about. So what?
It's just the things that amuse you amuse me.
Yeah. So what brought that up is I was listening to a podcast and I'm preparing to read the Screwtape Letters with some guys from church, and the one of the epigraphs in that book is by Martin Luther from Table Talk, and it's the idea that what the devil hates the most is to be mocked, or something along those lines. And so we in our circles in particular are very hesitant, I think, to mock bad ideas, but maybe there's a reason to mock bad ideas at times. So
Tim started to draw on the holster is good.
Well, there goes. Boom. The Martin Luther thing was just in our household last night, and my son has found Martin Luther very fascinating in that he looks up Martin Luther quotes because they're pretty crude.
When I talk about the Reformation and Western Civ, and I get done with Martin Luther, I say reform like Martin Luther, but don't talk like him. And then I just put a bunch of his spicy quotes up. And then you can also, you used to be able to go to Twitter, now X, and there was a Martin Luther quote generator. You could either look at the tweet every day, or you could go click it and it would just give you a new one, and someone had collated them all. So you can do with that what you want. So as far as writing for me, writing's been kind of disappointing. It just doesn't fit my life like it used to, and it's a fight to get it in there. And then so I think I'm trying to figure out if I could blog one time a month, and then should I put my energies there? So writing's kind of a big question mark for me. And it's like life gets really full, and it's full of ministry, and it's really hard to say no to ministry, right, to go write something. And then working, it's just hard to fit it in as a professor, which is a funny sentence to say, you know?
It's just the nature of our ministry, yep, at the, yep, school, yep, we're, yep, at.
So I would like to, but I think what I've wondered lately is this is going to sound like dumb, but sometimes you try, and it's your own fault. And it could totally be my own fault completely. And you guys, if it is, be like, Terrence, it's your fault. But sometimes I wonder if I have an idea and God would have me do something different, mm-hmm, and he's holding it kind of like, nope, you should be doing this. So I'm just trying to pray actually and think about, what do I do? Do I put my energy toward writing? Do I put my energy toward reading? I think I should keep reading, but why is this so hard to write? So kind of a questioning time period for me.
Cool. I've got a lot of school, so yeah.
You're going to write a lot of papers.
There's stuff for that. I do think, Tim, you mentioned some of the side projects, and there's some good stuff cooking, but, you know, we'll see if 2026 is the time. I think it is.
I think it is.
Yeah. There's things that I'm required to write that I don't necessarily want to write. There's things that I think need to be written that I don't necessarily want to write. And then there's things I want to write. And very similar to Andy's discussion, it's like, I don't know if that's the most important thing right now. And it's hard because when we're really busy, it's like, well, I don't know how to fit that in right now. And then the like kind of the carrot dangled out in front of you is like, once the semester's over, but then you kind of,
yeah,
you're so empty at that point, you need to take some time to like rejuvenate. And then if you do too long of rejuvenating, you're at the fall semester. So, but yeah, so there's things, there's homework, there's fun things, there's projects.
You said something in the winter episode that I listened to, Charlie, where you said sometimes you have to take time away from reading so you have more time, more energy to read or something.
Yeah.
And that was actually really encouraging because break did not go the way I wanted it to. And I didn't get all the reading done that I thought I would, but I was like, well, sometimes there's just, you can't do it. So,
yeah. Epiphany!
Epiphany!
So with signing up and submitting an abstract to an academic conference, one of the advantages of doing that is that it forces you.
Yeah.
And Dr. Paul, I was talking to him, and that's one of the reasons why he does it too. I mean, if you're going to stand up in front of people and talk about something, you better have at least an inkling of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why it's like, do I submit an abstract to this conference or do I not? You know, and then if it gets accepted, then I'm stuck. I've got it. And then it forces you. So yeah, maybe we need to do something like that to get that Thinklings devotional off the...
All right, let's have a final meditation from the Epiphany passage.
I thought we were talking about other stuff we're doing this year. Wasn't there like a third category?
No, I never texted you.
Oh, okay.
I think we covered it. Like what we're planning to read, what we're planning to write, you know. If you have more you want to share,
just one thing. I'm taking a trip to Brazil. I'll be teaching Old Testament theology in Brazil. End of May, beginning of June. So that's on my calendar as well. And I wanted to throw that out there even to our listeners. So if you think about that, pray for me. I'll be taking my oldest son, Josiah, with me. He graduates this year. He'll be starting college in the fall. And so kind of a transitional year for the littles, actually, in a few different ways. So 2026, we'll see how it all plays out.
Any other et ceteras? All right. Now let's have a final meditation in Matthew 2. So again, this is the, not necessarily just focusing on the incarnation, but the manifestation, the revealing of who Christ is. And there are a lot of passages that get connected to this. There's Old Testament and New Testament readings that are connected to different church celebrations. I think this, the Matthew 2 one came up the most as I read about it. So we'll read through, I think roughly, let's see here, 15 verses, maybe not that much, 12 verses. There we go. So Matthew chapter 2, starting verse 1. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, not Epiphany, sadly, but, and he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child, for when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, an epiphany, they departed to their own country by another way. And so, again, the main theme, the revealing of who this is, and there's revealing of who Christ is. So the baby is born, and you have Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled that is describing who Jesus is. So the Micah passage that in Bethlehem, the ruler and shepherd of Israel is going to be born. So it's a pretty clear declaration here early in Matthew's gospel that this baby born in Bethlehem, like the prophecy, is going to be the Messiah. So there's part of the revealing. But then I think the giving of those gifts in verse 11 is very commonly pointed at as a symbolic gesture. And so Tim, actually, somewhere in this office, do you still have them? You have the little vials of the three?
Somewhere? Yeah, right up there.
I can't see them. But yeah, oh, right there. Yeah, so you have frankincense, myrrh, and do you have gold? I don't remember.
In this little Tolkien coin that I have from Stearns. So, a very small amount.
anyone who wants to help me out here, what do those three
gifts... Do you know how much gold costs right now? It's like $4,300 an ounce. So, no, I don't have a whole lot of gold, friend.
Do you know how much mithril costs? Because that's a kingly gift. Anyway, so they offered him gold, frankincense, and...
Myrrh.
Oh, my word.
So what do those three gifts symbolize? Well, help me out.
Isn't gold like the kingly one?
Yes.
It is for a king.
Like riches, and then, the riches of a king.
Isn't myrrh, somehow it's connected to suffering, I thought. But I don't remember. I think I just heard this the other day.
Any thoughts around the table?
I don't remember. I'd have to review this. One of them's supposed to be connected to the cross, but I don't remember.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure one of the frankincense or myrrh, they're signifying of his significant of his death. Is that, I think they're something of like...
I think the last one is the significant of his suffering. And the first one's the king, but I can't remember what the middle one is, frankincense.
So frankincense, a white resinous gum obtained from several kinds of a certain tree in Arabia, used medicinally and for sacral purposes. Gold and myrrh as a precious gift to Christ. It doesn't say anything here, but maybe like... A part of a sacrifice is the...
Frankincense is the priesthood and the connection to the temple tabernacle, and myrrh is the suffering and death.
Myrrh's the death. So help me out with the connection of the frankincense to the priesthood.
It was used in the worship and temple cult, the rituals and stuff. So that's the priestly office. So you've got the king, the priest, and then... the suffering.
Would that be like the prophet, like the prophesied?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I want to say that just because you have prophet, priest, and king through the gifts, but I haven't studied this out. Like, I don't know even if I did, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. But so these gifts, they're symbolic connections. So things that you would give to a king, a priest, the myrrh, something that is for preparation for death. So it's significant of who Christ is and what he's going to accomplish. He is the ruler, the king. He is the high priest. He's the priest that's going to end the priesthood. And he does that by his death. But then that king dying on the cross for us is all symbolically identified there in the gifts of the three men here. So the epiphany of Christ, the revealing of who he is through Matthew 2, and so we celebrate and we remember the revealing, the appearing of Christ as our King who would die on the cross for our sins. So any other thoughts on that before we end our Christmas celebration for the year?
I have never celebrated Epiphany or even thought about it. And so I've appreciated the focus this year. And thank you. I want to caution our listeners about high church and some of the goofiness within the high church. Just read about the 12th day of Christmas.
The only thing I would say is in the passage we read today, you came to the word, the star appeared, and you're like, not the word. It is actually part of the cognate, though. So the word epiphany is epi. That's the preposition, and then phaneo or phaneo or phaneros. And that one is the appearing word. So it's
almost there.
Yeah, it's enough that you could say it. That's all I wanted to let you know.
All right. Well, thank you, listeners, for celebrating the 12 days of Christmas and Epiphany with us. And we'll see you next week on the podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Thinklings Podcast. We would love to hear from you. If you have any feedback, suggestions, or potential topics that you'd like us to discuss, you can contact us through our email, thinklingspodcast@gmail.com. Remember, don't let this conversation end with this podcast. Read good books, talk about them with your friends, and always continue to cultivate your mind. See you next time on the Thinklings Podcast.